James live on BBC Six Music. Thank you so much for that performance of the new single, which, as I said, is out along with the album tomorrow. So, I mean, we've already been talking about it, really. Never wants to shy away from an extreme experience. That's you guys all over, I think, lyrically. And by the sounds of it, when it comes to writing and recording. So, Tim, as you said, you were battling with the Scottish weather, I think, during the writing process for this record. Where did you work and how did you work?
We bolted ourselves into a Scottish bed and breakfast and took over the whole place and put mattresses on the window and gaffer taped them for soundproofing for the neighbours.
Is this up in the Highlands then?
Well, up in the northwest of
Gaelic. You know Gaelic, don't you?
My dad's from Auchtinead, actually. Absolutely. So I'm more East Coast, but I do know the Highlands a little bit. Uh-huh. Beautiful up there. But I was just thinking about the kind of landscape up there, as well as the, you know, working there in the winter, I can imagine, is pretty extreme. But obviously, it just those kind of huge skies and that scenery and stuff, it must have played a part.
It was beautiful. I mean, it was absolutely freezing, but just blue skies and sunshine. And the cold kept us indoors and working, I think, which is probably a good thing.
Jimmy and I both live up there, mm-hmm. so not together in any kind of weird kind of bandmate way, but I live in Sutherland on the east coast, mm-hmm. pretty much, near Laigh, a godforsaken little place in the middle of nowhere, and Mr. Glennie lives on the other side. So we've become de facto Scots, really. For me, and going back to my kind of childhood, kind of being raised in Scotland mainly.
Yeah.
And, so it's great for us to work where we live. We don't have to go anywhere.
Apart from that, though, do you think that the kind of your surroundings make their way into the music? Because I know there's a lot, obviously, some incredible musicians living and working, and it seems to produce a particular sound and a feel. I mean, I'm thinking about, Ian Rankin going up there to write. I think he writes up on the Black Isle.
Yeah.
There's something very creative about it, you know, and it's that sky that begs to be filled with something or other, ideas or music.
Yeah, both the record, our last record and this one, La Petite Mort, and this record were written very similarly, really, up there. And I'm not sure that you hear anything directly, you know, associated with, mm-hmm. you know, that place, but it's certainly making us do something together. It's making us very compact, I think, creatively.
We lock ourselves away, and there's no real internet, and there's no phone reception, and it's more about 3 weeks of
together,
you know, reality
also, it's also a little bit scary, that landscape. It puts a little bit of fear into you, and it makes you fight back a little bit. So I think it's making us quite bold musically.
Yes, it's
powerful.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's stopping us. Actually, I think also, you know, we've just entered our 35th year as a band. This is our 14th album. It's like we could be quite complacent, I think, and we could be quite. It would be easy for a band like us to be meaningless some way. You know,
well,
I think this writing process that we're doing and the places that we're writing in is helping to some extent to keep the wolf at the door, you know.
No, I mean, that's really interesting. And I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, you know, as you say, 13 records out already, 12 million sales. And I was thinking about this idea of you kind of locking yourselves away. And apart from the fact that you're kind of eliminating distractions, is part of that kind of setting aside all of the expectations and the history and everything that you've done, and because you have to if you want to kind of keep making work that is fresh and engaging and powerful.
Because what happens is we improvise, and this time it was amongst five of us, and no one takes anything into the room. It's not like someone comes in with a chord pattern, so we very much about being in the moment.
Right.
So the expectations and stuff doesn't really come in, except that we won't release a song if we don't think it matches stuff we've done in the past or surpasses it. That comes later, you know, when you've got the finished product where you go, oh, that's not quite up to standard, so that goes. But the fresh way we write, which is through improvisation, is the thing that's kept us fresh, I think, because most bands have a singer-songwriter or one or two, and after 5 or 6 years, they run out of ideas. But we're bouncing off each other in weird configurations, and we never know what's going to happen. And then someone can take that jam into a room and smash it up in whatever direction they wish to smash it up in and then bring it back into the room. And so it's a strange collaborative process of our collective psyches.
Yes.
That confuses and throws everything up in the air every time we play.
I was just thinking, so that's interesting, because that kind of, it doesn't sound like you can ever get comfortable, really, under those circumstances, because, you know, like you say, you're never quite relaxing and getting into your groove.
And we're not doing it, we've never written for anyone else apart from ourselves. So we kind of stumble into songs which the world also wants to hear. You know, people call them hits or whatever they call them, you know, whatever. But we're not doing it for anything else than ourselves. This is a big reason, I think, why we continue to exist in the way that we do. That we're doing it for ourselves. And I guess when we listen to these things that we generate in a very scratchy form, you know, the initial kind of beginnings of things, and, you know, it's an unbelievably, it's almost like a little bit of a magical process that, you know, because out of nothing you create something, and it is inherently a creative process. You know?
That's where the buzz and the excitement is. It's kind of going into a room with nothing and then just trying to make something appear, and then it does. And it's that kind of instant gratification. It's quite selfish in a way, so that's what we're looking for there and then. And then the harder work comes in kind of making it into a song afterwards. I mean, sometimes they fall very easy for you, you know, they just appear in the room and they're virtually done. But other times you've kind of got to put a bit of work in and sort it out. But the actual writing process is wonderful.
Okay.
We really, really enjoy that part of it.
I mean, the hardest bit is telling people about it.
I know.
Clearly.
It's awful. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm sorry about that, but...
No, that's no reflection on you.
It's a strange way of working. I don't think we know anybody else who writes like this.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, obviously doing my job and asking people to explain themselves pretty much every day, which is part of it. It's definitely an unusual way of doing it. I think I had an interesting conversation with Underworld about them making their most recent album, and they had adopted this approach of like going in with nothing every day deliberately, and apparently, you know, completely kind of energised everything that they were doing, but an interesting one, a brave tactic.
I'm so dying to hear that record.
It's such a good album.
I saw them play about 4 months ago, and I was dancing so much I twisted my ankle for about 3 weeks. I could hardly walk.
Such a good album. Yeah. Okay, but back to your record. I know that you were working, once you'd done the writing up in Scotland, you were down in London working just down the road at Rack with Max Stingle, I think, and also Brian Eno dropped in and gave a couple of ideas for some tracks. What happened there?
It was more that there were a couple of tracks, Nothing But Love is one of them, where we felt we were a bit stuck. And so I took into Brian and went, Brian, can you help us out? And he just put this beautiful little arpeggio on this song, just one little line, but it just kind of contemporized it or did something to the setting. And we worked on another song with him where he's done a lot more, but we never managed to get it together for this record. It will come out on another record when we work out how on earth to incorporate what he's done.
How would you describe, I mean, I don't know, spoilers, but how would you describe what he's done, the Eno touch?
He's got all these, I hope he's told people about this and that I'm allowed to talk about it, but he's made these programs that self-generate music. And so he can kind of put in something really simple and basic, and then the computer just starts self-generating and replicating. And so he put in like a very simple guitar riff, and then the computer did the rest. And I sat there watching him do this thing. And the mad thing is, it sounds really heartfelt.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be computer generated, it's going to be cold in some way, but actually it's really moving.
That's so interesting. I think we had a clip from him that we used for one of our playlists a few weeks back, which was him talking about wanting to do that in, I don't know, 1976 or something like that. And so he's actually done it now.
Yeah. He's going to kill me if it's something he was about to reveal.
Oh, no. He listens occasionally, so he might be tuned in.
Maybe he might be.
Give us a ring and have a chat about it.
I'll go and apologise to him.
No, not at all. Listen, guys, it's wonderful to have you here. We're going to have more live music from James very shortly, but for now, thank you.
Thanks.